Anything combat with Johnny K.
Well, it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. We're going to talk about the UFC, probably Jack Della Maddalena versus Islam Makhachev today. I think, personally, Jack Della Maddalena is probably going to KO him. I'm going to say third round. I wouldn't be surprised if Jack throws up a submission in this fight also. And puts Islam in a state of danger because of it. All right, so yeah, I've got the breakdown here right now. 29, Jack Della Maddalena, 34, Islam Makhachev. I personally think that Makhachev has shown a deficiency in the boxing defense before. And, you know, he had the Brooks fight, I believe, where... You know which one it is. I don't know his name. The one that he got stuck in the guillotine. He had to fight his way out. So, you know, I'm looking at that and I'm seeing like the front chokes, the headlocks that that he's defending against. And the fact that Jack Della Maddalena has shown proficiency in that with training with Craig Jones. I think that is a serious issue for Makhachev. I don't like the size difference. I feel like Makhachev struggled against kind of like a fat featherweight when Volk did a short turnaround instead of really acclimating into the division. I feel like Jack's a little bit leaner, stronger, bigger, and more versatile than Volkanovski. They're different type of games. Volkanovski's going in and out. Jack's kind of staying on you with combination punching and switch stance whilst he's doing that. Now, I think that Makhachev has shown a deficiency to boxing as well as that switch stance. So I see Jack Della Maddalena utilizing his jab and coming over with combination punching. How's Makhachev going to deal with that? He has to go for body lock. He has to go for clinch. He has to pull Jack's head down. This is really hard against a boxer because a boxer's there finding his range. How are you supposed to clinch someone that's finding their range? It's not on. So I think Makhachev, you know, he wants to be a kicker. That's good. If he kicks with JDM, he'll probably do better. How does Islam beat JDM? He has to out-grapple him and he has to submit him. I find this highly unlikely. Now that JDM's training with Craig and the damage that Craig did in the last time, I see, you know, like we saw all that footage of JDM with Craig doing das chokes and shit like that. So I think JDM's grappling is really underrated. We saw him grapple against Gilbert Burns also. He looked great. So... is there going to be a size discrepancy? I think JDM's going to look way bigger than Makhachev. That doesn't favor Makhachev whatsoever. I think JDM's going to end Makhachev's win streak, which is ridiculous because no one can beat the, you know, when Kamaru, Marty Fake Newsman, when he got to Anderson Silva's win streak and they got ended by Leon. Now, Makhachev's getting to the same level of win streak and JDM's going to end it. I'm highly impressed with how JDM has been dealing with these fights, especially the fact that he fought Bilal, and Bilal is like a mini version of Islam Makhachev. So, you know, they're comparable styles, and Bilal's also fought and trained with Makhachev's camp. So it's a precursor. It shows that he has the opportunity, the possibility to beat him. Kicking game, you know, Jack's got an underrated kicking game. You know, DC said some shit like, oh, but JDM doesn't shoot. Watch the Angelusa fight. He shot, he kicked, and then he has the boxing on top of that, and now he's got a jiu-jitsu game. So JDM, he's a very fucking hard fighter to beat, and he's younger than Makhachev. Probably is going to move better too. I don't think Makhachev can hit JDM with a shot to really sit him down. You know, Islam did that to Gleison Tibau. That's good. He did it to Charles. Charles is, you know, a little bit chinny. We've seen him get dropped. He goes down with shots too, also. So, we've seen Makhachev. You know, he has those big knees. That's kind of how he puts people out. So, if someone's going to hit someone with a massive shot to put him out, I think JDM has a higher chance of putting Makhachev out than Makhachev has a chance of putting JDM out. JDM's on a streak. Makhachev's on a streak. I want to see it. Maybe Makhachev is a little bit more motivated now, moving up from lightweight to welterweight, and we see a different type of his game. I find it unlikely, but maybe we see a different type of his game. Who knows? I'm calling Jack Della Maddalena to KO him in 3 rounds. I'll share my opinion on what I think about Sean Brady and Michael Morales. Michael Morales, 18-0, Ecuadorian fighter, fighting Sean Brady, really versatile, very versatile game. Michael, I would say, is more athletic, probably sting him with punches better, more effectually than how Sean could. Sean could probably do jiu-jitsu against him, but I need to see Michael's game in jiu-jitsu. What's his grappling like? I've seen him in some instances, but I need more information on that. Sean, he's got really good jiu-jitsu. For this fight, off the bat from what I'm seeing, I want to pick Sean Brady because of the wrestling. But how do we know? You know what I mean? Michael's really young. He's 26. Sean's 32. Michael can level up more so than Sean can. This one's a hard pick. I'm not going to even pick anyone. I'm going to say Michael Morales by knockout or Sean Brady by submission, depending on how the fight goes. Might be a first round knockout because I saw Michael against Gilbert Burns look fucking good. Or Sean Brady by submission, by dragging him out and using his jiu-jitsu. I see like an arm triangle finish because of the density and how strong he is as an individual. Down the card, there's Leon Edwards versus Carlos Prates. Leon is really underrated, but I've seen him not have that drive that other fighters do to win, the will to win. I've seen that when he fought Sean. I saw him against Marty as well, Martin Usman. And now he's going up against Carlos Prates. Carlos Prates, when he fought Ian Garry, he almost had him out of there. Carlos is someone that's dangerous. That can put you out. No matter how long the fight goes, if he's there, he can put you out. Leon should use his grappling in this fight. If he doesn't use his grappling, it's a severe mistake. This is a very winnable fight for Leon. Leon can strike with this guy, but Carlos can't grapple with Leon. The level that Leon can grapple, very underrated. He can do freestyle wrestling. He can do Greco trips. He can do jiu-jitsu. There's a lot of good things I see here. Carlos, I don't believe in that. I don't think he can do that. And I think Leon Edwards is a better version of Ian Garry than Ian Garry fighting Carlos. And we already saw how that fight went. So he's going to go up against someone that's even harder than the guy that he fought. I think that Leon's going to win a decision. It's a 3-rounder. I think he's going to grapple with him. He should shoot double legs on him. Shoots double legs, probably going to win. He doesn't, he'll lose. Down the card. Salam Khoubi. We got Benil Dariush, Dodosh, against Benoit Saint-Denis. Bonjour. So we got France versus fucking Iran. I love the Iranians. They're the best. Benil Dariush versus Benoit Saint-Denis. So Benoit's been working with Nicolas Ott. Nicholas comes on the show. I spoke to him. Intriguing individual. But is this passing of the torch? Is it? You know, Benoit Saint-Denis had that roadblock against Dustin Poirier. Then he fought Renato Moicano and he lost again. He showed a deficiency. He showed a deficiency when he fought Renato Moicano in the grappling. Benil Dariush just fought Renato Moicano and beat him somehow. Benil's one of those fighters that he goes up against these young guns and he consistently beats them. Mateusz Gamrot, Renato Moicano, all the young up-and-comers. Anyone that's young, that's supposed to be passing of the torch, Benil usually beats him. Benil is not washed. Benil's primed. Even though he lost to Charles Oliveira, it's not a problem. So BSD, he's looking good. You know, I saw the fight with him and Prepelec. Yep, that's his name. I didn't even know his name. He looked good, but Prepelec's no good. Then we saw Mauricio Rufi, who, you know, I thought was going to go places. Benoit has now, you know, he's submitted Mauricio Rufi. A very impressive performance. You know what I mean? He played a good game plan, took him out. So now, we've got Benil Dariush versus Benoit Saint-Denis. My inclination, just off momentum, who they're fighting, who they're beating, I reckon Benil Dariush is going to beat Benoit Saint-Denis. His toolbox is better. And I think the quality of opponent that he's beating is better. I would have really wanted to see that Joel Alvarez versus Benoit Saint-Denis because I really like Joel Alvarez. But, you know, he fought Vicente. Yeah, the people that Benoit's losing to are not that bad. But the quality of people that Benil Dariush loses to is just higher. Benil Dariush, he's fucking, you know, he went underrated, then he went overrated. Now he's fucking underrated. He went underrated, then he went overrated, then he became fucking Eshgam. He became Aziza Eshgam, and then he became fucking underrated again. Benil Dariush is a fucking pick. Iran is on. But truthfully, Benil's Assyrian, so I think he speaks Aramaic, but I still count him as Iranian. I've seen some places say that, you know, he lived in Iran or something. Yep, born and raised in Iran, Benil Dariush. Even though he carries the Assyrian flag, he's still Dodosh. He's still the brother. So, Benil Dariush uses grappling, uses striking. They're gonna have a really holistic game and they're going to fucking fight each other and they're going to have holistic moments, you know, striking, wrestling. There's going to be a lot of transitions. I think Benil's going to get him. Benil's a high-quality fighter. Let's talk about Malcolm Wellmaker. So, Malcolm, we wanted to see him against Alessandro Topuria. This is what I said to him when he came on the show. When he came on the Anything Combat podcast. Become a combatant, by the way. He fucking was going to fight Alexandre Topuria. Now that's been booked up against Behzad Almakan. Alessandro Topuria against Malcolm Wellmaker was going to be a great fight. Malcolm's going places. All of a sudden, they book him up against Cody Haddon, who's from Attic Sports. Shout out Jasmine. So, he goes to fight Malcolm. He breaks his fucking foot. His foot's broken. So, what now? So, they book him up against Ethan Ewing. This guy, I'm going to tell you right now, Ethan Ewing. Do I have to say anymore? Put Malcolm Wellmaker on by fucking knockout. Put him on by knockout. This is a guaranteed KO. The previous people that he fought, I was impressed with. Cameron Simon. Who's Ethan Ewing? I'm not checking who this is. I'm not checking the topology. Don't need to. Not confident. Malcolm's going to put him out. KO. Malcolm's going towards the title. There is no person in that division from a social point of view, from a soul point of view, Malcolm's had a very difficult life. Very difficult. And he's managed to fucking get here and he's managed to put the work in and now he's a fucking UFC fighter. He's in the featherweight division for this fight. He's going to have more power. He's going to be more full. He's going to put this Ewing guy out. Vicious. First round KO. Put it on, bet. Do it. Malcolm has grappling. He's wrestling. He's jiu-jitsu. He's got the craziest hands you'll fucking ever see. He can kick. He's got heart. He fucking has work rate. I can't say enough good things about Malcolm as a human. He's a good person. Malcolm's going to lay this guy out. Down the card, we have Basinger Susukaya versus Eric Mick Cornigo. You know, Basinger Susukaya, I'll probably pick him. You know what I mean? He seems like an up-and-comer. He's in a good division, middleweight. He's Chechenian. You know, he's training with Khamzat. He's got a lot of potential. I saw him get... He's not the best. He's pretty good. I saw him get in trouble when he fought. But Basinger, you know, he's got potential. He's got a lot of tools in the toolbox. That's it. So, let's see what he can do. I reckon he's going to beat him fairly handily. Pretty easy fight for him. I don't mind Basinger. I don't mind him. He's cool. So, yeah, I'm going to pick Basinger on that. Susukayev's going places, so keep him in check. Susukayev, keep him in front of mind. Put your money on that. Another fighter I want to talk about is John Pork. Zaykunikov. However you say his name. Trains with Makachev, he's undefeated, he's in the lightweight division. I liked his Dana White Contender Series fight. Muay Thai champion. He looked legit. He too had a lot of tools. I saw him shooting takedowns too. Dagestani with Muay Thai capabilities. Fuck. John Pork, he's legit. And I can't believe Sherdog put John Pork on there, but it's valid. It's mad. What do I see for this guy? Look out for him. He's got great Muay Thai capabilities. I like the fact that he's mixing it up. He's from a good camp. He's got a lot of potential. Keep him in line for the division. He might go places. You know, I might be picking him for a lot of these fights. I like the versatility in the striking too. A lot of different techie things that he does that other people can't do. I like his clinch game too. John Pork, stamp of approval. Legit. So, let's talk about someone that I really like. I like Quinlan Salkild. People talk about Perth. People talk about Australia. Quinlan Salkild, that's the one. Nasrat Haqparast, he fights him, puts him out. Bop, head kick, puts him down. He's next up. Shout out Attic again, he's another one. This dude with Marwan Rahiki's at Lion's Den. Quillen's in Perth. Marwan Rahiki and Quillen, they're the two you need to look out for Australian MMA. Let's start off with Quillen. Quillen, he's got grappling, he's got striking, he's got head kicks, he's got good Muay Thai, he's got KO with punches, he's got KOs with kicks, he's got grappling, he can shoot fucking takedowns, he's tall, he's big for lightweight. A lot of these guys can't do that. Most of these guys can't do that. Yeah. Perth is where it's at. Steve Erceg, Jack Della Maddalena, Quillen Salkild. Quillen, in my opinion, out of everyone I've spoken about, you know, I believe that he can fight for a UFC title. That division is open for someone like Quillen Salkild to fucking wreck. He can fight someone like a Chandler. He can fight someone like a Moicano, Dan Hooker. These names, Matheus Gamrot. Fucking throw him Matheus Gamrot. I bet you'll beat him. I bet you'll fucking beat him. He's tough. He's dirty. I like it. I mean, I'm sold. Quillen's an animal. He's going to go to I think he's going to go towards that top five of the division. And then we can start talking. Then we'll see the massive matchups and see how he does. But right now, Quillen's young. Very young. And he's just great. Former Eternal Champion. Who were the former Eternal Champions? Steve Erceg, Jack Della Maddalena. If you get the Eternal belt, it's a very good indicator that you're going to do big things. I'm putting my stock on Quillen. The chances, the possibility of anyone at lightweight getting a belt, I believe Quillen is his name should be in there for the top three most probable to win a UFC title in that division. So shout out to Perth. Let's go to Sydney. I'm in Sydney right now. I'm a Melbourneian. I've come up to Sydney. Lion's Den. Marwan Rahighi. Rahighi goes on Contender Series. He wants to get Contender Series. He wants to get into UFC. Young guy. Freaky. Marwan Rahighi. He's 7-0 right now. He starts his professional career 2024. He has 3 fights 2024. He has 4 fights 2025 with a contender in 2025 included. So he goes 7-0. All finishes. I've seen jiu-jitsu out of him. I've seen clinch game. I've seen craziest striking I've ever seen. Fast hands. I've seen good hands, good boxing positioning. I've seen kicks. I've seen spin kicks. I've seen fucking Muay Thai kicks. Tall, long, good for the division. Fast, fucking fast, brutal. Guy's 23. Fucking impressive. He's got that thing. You know what I mean? He's got that thing. He's got that differentiator. He's fucking special. I want to know why and how he thinks, why he fights. Because he's got a special type of ability in there. Positioning. You go left, he'll switch kick you left. You go right, he'll power kick you. He spins, smash you to the left, smash you to the right, get you right in the middle. Shoot a takedown. He's training with George Mangos. I like the fact that they have that relation. You know, George Mangos is the grappler. Marwan's supposed to be the striker, but it's not really like that. George has improved his hands immensely. Marwan's improved his grappling immensely. They're synergistic together. It's good. Marwan in the division, put him on the fucking UFC card soon. He's a featherweight. He's 5'8". He's good size, good leanness. He's quick. Marwan Rahighi, I want to see more technical boxing out of him. Right now, I know at Lion's Den, they're focusing on that. So I want to see what happens with him. I think right now, in the featherweight division, he can box a lot of them. His hands are sharp and they're fast. I think he can box a lot of these dudes. My stock? They're the two. Quillen Sackgild, Marwan Rahighi for Australia. That's it. You can now find the Anything Combat podcast on Millions Company, Millions Co. So we did a partnership, bang, we're in. Boom, we put the podcast on Millions. Spoke to Patrick at Millions. He told me, Tasman Boxing. Okay, cool. Bang, went up to Sydney, saw all the guys there. Justice Hooney. Bang, got on a plane, went to Sydney. Justice Hooney, I'm impressed. Australian heavyweight. Impressive guy. Respectful individual. Who fucking smash him. Looking forward to see what Justice does in that division, in the boxing. Tasman Boxing, we've got Jai Opetaia defending his title. We've got Jai Opetaia fighting Sin Cara. This is for the IBF and Ring Magazine Cruiserweight World title. This is on Ring of Fire. Tasman Fighters on the Gold Coast. Ring of Fire, Opetaia versus Sin Cara. Great card. You got the likes of Justice Hooney on the card. You got Max McIntyre. You got Mahoney. I like the card. Is that Magpie? What a sick cunt. Thanks for him for joining us today. Go the Pies. Actually, don't go the Pies. I'm a fucking Carlton supporter. I'm glad that you could join us. Anyways, so Opetaia, Sin Cara, Tasman Fighters, be there December 6th. Fucking sick card. Okay, that's all. Want to thank all our supporters and the growth in the Anything Combat podcast. I've been your host, Johnny K. Tune in for more episodes. We're getting more fighters on here. I'm growing the platform and I want to promote and show the talent. Take a look at this. The Magpie has come and he's rocked up on the table. Can you see that?
Look at that.
Not a problem. Okay. Anything Combat podcast? Motherfucker. Cunt. He fucking jumped at me. Anything Combat podcast? We've got a lot of things working on right now. Tune in. And I will see you next time. Become a combatant.
Anything Combat with Johnny K.
But it's Anything Combat, though.
Anything Combat podcast, Johnny K. We're talking about MMA. Charles Oliveira versus Rafael Fiziev. Everyone was saying to me, oh, dude, Charles Oliveira's coming back after he fought Ilya Topuria and got flatlined. Yes, he was making a short turnaround. We get it. But Rafael Fiziev, in my opinion, was not good enough to grapple with Charles. What I did like out of him was when I saw him do well in the first round against Gaethje with the grappling. I know that it can be said that they kind of wind it up there because, you know, Gaethje kind of fell over or whatever. But still, I like control. I like the diversification in his game. He changed from like a Muay Thai practitioner, like a solo Muay Thai guy, to another part of the game, which shows that he's expanding his game, he's learning, he's on the come up after his knee injury. Charles Oliveira, however, is too broad with his game. You know what I mean? He can wrestle, he can clinch, he's a really good submission offense. You know, his Muay Thai striking is very good. So that fight against Rafael Fiziev and Charles Oliveira, I personally thought that every single part of that game was going to favor Charles. Yeah, Charles could probably outstrike and, or it would be a close striking match. And then I think Charles hits harder. I think he's got more power. I agree with the community stating that, you know, Fiziev's power is almost like a conspiracy. It's almost like a myth. I do agree with that. I subscribe to that. Because who's he actually KO'd? He KO'd Renato Moicano. Who else? Brad Riddell with like a fucking wheel kick. Like, you should be KOing people with a wheel kick. You know what I mean? So, Rafael Fiziev's injured. I personally thought Charles Oliveira was going to rinse him in any part of that game. You know, he would have submitted him or KO'd him. I don't reckon it was going to be a close match, even with Charles coming back after such a fast turnaround after being flatlined by Ilya Topuria. All right, I'm back because I need to put away my espresso that I made with fucking... I put butter in my espressos, and that butter, I think, was either moldy or it was expired. I need to get rid of that shit. So, you know what I'm fucking annoyed about? The lightweight division. You got all these guys coming up. You know, like, at one point we had, like, Ignacio Bahamandez, Tsai Yukin was coming up, all the young guys, Paddy Pimblett, right? And for some reason, as I said ages ago in the show, I said that the lightweight division is split into two different eras of lightweights. You have your Gaethje, your Dustin, and your Charles, even though he wasn't really in that division, in that era, even though he is part of that age group. He kind of came into that division a little bit later for his title run. And he was more of a younger man's fighter at the time. Then the younger era, which was your Matheus Gamrot, your Gram Kutadze, and all the young guys coming up like Paddy Pimblett, right? For some reason, though, with all the matches that could be made, the UFC once again has favored a couple dudes. Like Gamrot and Fiziev keep on getting these opportunities when I want to see other young guys. I want to see other young guys in the division. I want them to get some opportunities, you know? Like Joel Alvarez, where's he? Why the fuck have they not given him a couple matchups? Joel Alvarez could beat some of these guys at the top. So now, after Fiziev and Gamrot, we've got Matheus Gamrot taking on Charles Oliveira after Fiziev pulled out with the injury. So now you're here telling me, okay, well, what's Gamrot going to do that Fiziev can't? Okay, he's going to wrestle. He's going to wrestle Charles Oliveira. And I'm going to put props on him because, you know, I'm being very vocal about how I'm not a fan of Mateusz Gamrot's style. Like, I don't believe that he's going to go too far in the division. And I think that his record in of itself is almost like fraudulent. It's almost deceptive. He hasn't gotten the wins that they've given him. And he's lost a lot of matchups that they didn't on the decision make him lose, right? Perfect examples probably like the Jalen Turner fight and the Ahmet Tsayukian fight, which were both close. Like the only time he didn't get lucky was then he got split decision by Dan Hooker, which I predicted also. So now, What the hell are we looking at here? I think Fiziev would have posed a deeper threat to Charles Oliveira than Gamrot can. You're telling me some guy who's a little bit chinny, who doesn't really have the best hands or kicks, is going to try and freestyle grapple up against kind of a grappling jiu-jitsu ace. How's that going to turn out? That's not going to work. That's a stupid way to fight. That's a stupid way to fight Charles Oliveira. Eventually, I think Charles Oliveira will wind up in a position where they're scrambling because Gamrot favors the scramble a lot in his freestyle wrestling style. And I believe Charles Oliveira will get him in a rear naked choke or get his back in some of these instances. I don't know if Gamrot has the jiu-jitsu to get away from Charles, right? Dustin didn't. Gaethje didn't. Michael Chandler most recently got out-grappled in the sequel with Charles Oliveira. And even Armin had difficulty. You know what I mean? He had him in the Das choke and he also had him in the guillotine before that also. I think Gamrot's really going to struggle with this fight against Charles Oliveira, and he'll lose this one. Charles Oliveira will submit Gamrot just based off the styles. It's not conducive for Gamrot. I don't believe in Gamrot's ability. I disagree with Khabib. I don't agree with his ability to fight for titles in the future. Just not a fan. Just not a fan. I don't see it. I'm not confident in him. Who I am confident in is an old Charles Oliveira to be able to submit him eventually in that match. Even with the grappling not favoring Gamrot whatsoever, what's he going to do in the striking? He cannot out-clinch, he cannot out-punch, he cannot out-kick Charles Oliveira. And Charles has the knees and the elbows. It's a bad look, really bad look. I wouldn't be surprised also if Charles Oliveira can get a KO on him. No matter how I approach this match or try and unpack it, Charles Oliveira will probably will finish Mateusz Gamrot. Put your money on it. I just feel like the matchups that we really want to make are not being made by the UFC. But regardless, they're not going to do it because people, you know, either don't want to accept it because they're waiting for the right time, waiting for their right age, or they're waiting for the right experience, or they haven't figured out one of the opponents that don't want to take that risk. They're like straight bitches. Like, how the fuck are you going to be a professional fighter and not put yourself in a position to fight somebody that hasn't been figured out yet and go in there and try and figure out or break them? And knowing that they can't do that, they don't take the matchup for some reason. It's a harsh reality, but it's true. One fighter that would never do that is Diego Lopez, because the second that Charles Oliveira, all of his opponents pulled out, Fiziev pulled out, Diego Lopez from 145 pounds, fuck it, 66 kg, said, "I'll fight the former lightweight champion, upper weight class, on short notice," straight after spinning, elbowing Gene Silver fighting nerd. Like, are you fucking serious? Bro, Diego Lopez, man. When I saw Diego Lopez debut up against Mozart Ivloev on the card where Henry Cejudo fought Aljamain Sterling, I was so impressed. I was impressed with the punching power. I was impressed with the footwork, the timing, the ferocity, the will to win, the aggression. I loved his jiu-jitsu, and his submission offense, so impressive. You know, Diego Lopez and Charles Oliveira are similar styles, even though they attack from a different perspective. You know, Diego's more of a puncher, like power punching, combination punching, whilst Charles Oliveira is more into the, you know, the Muay Thai game, trying to get close, clinch you up, and also smash you with a really big shot. You know, against Benil Dariush, hit him with the overhand slash like power hook, right? And caught him on the end of the punch, right? With Gaethje, he dipped his head down and smashed him with a cross. Diego's a little bit different in that respect, where he's kind of throwing combination strikes with his punching. But both of them have decently good jiu-jitsu. Now, this is where it's hard, because featherweight to lightweight skill gap is real. You know, lighter man skill level. But I would have wanted to see that matchup, because Diego was calling for it. Yes, they replaced it with Gamrot, but Diego was calling for it, which goes to show you how much of a fucking animal Diego is. Every so often in a division, there's some fighters that talk a big game. Diego's one of those guys that overperforms and then is harsh on himself. He's a true animal. He's literally like the embodiment of martial arts. That's why I like Diego Lopez so much. Diego called out Charles. How does that match go? You know what I mean? I think Charles's kicks would work really well against Diego, unfortunately. I think Charles would also have a wrestling advantage. And I'm going to put it out there, I think that Charles's submission game's a little bit better. Now, in terms of tenacity, who wants to win more, who's got a better chin, who's got a puncher's chance, Diego could have gone in there and chased him. Because, dude, look how Diego fought Volkanovski. It proves Diego's actually improved. It proves that he's so much better than what he was. And it shows how much he wants to win. Sometimes you might get a better fighter, but the one that wants to win more will win eventually. You just need to stay on him and break him. Diego couldn't break Volkanovski even after dropping him. So it just goes to show you how much of a champ Volk is. But what I can say is, if Diego keeps up how he's going after fighting Volkanovski for the belt, I wouldn't be surprised, give it 2-3 years after Volk retires, that and seeing that Ilya Topuria is up at lightweight, I wouldn't be surprised if Diego Lopez gets that featherweight championship. And if he moves up to lightweight, I wouldn't mind seeing a Topuria-Diego match. After all, this is Anything Combat, and we do report on multiple different combat sports. So I want to move on and talk about boxing for a little bit. Canelo Alvarez versus Terence Crawford just took place on Netflix. I was seriously surprised with Terence Crawford's ability to shut down Canelo's whole game. Personally, I understand that the lighter man's skill sometimes doesn't work in boxing. I think it's more favored for MMA in that respect, because MMA, if you're a lighter man, it doesn't matter about grappling. If you get a big fat guy in front of you and you go to grapple him, you can take him down just based off your technique, right? But in boxing, punching power is a serious problem when you're going up in weight class. Canelo, I wanted to see more rips with his power hand, his right hand, to the body, to then open up the chin for his left hook to the top. Instead of, you know, he's known for his left hook to the body and stuff. I thought that the setups to his left hook to the body were too predictable. And I think Terence already knew his whole entire game before getting in there. And that's why it was unanimous. It was not a close match. I think Canelo probably won 2 or 3 rounds of that whole thing. And it was like, it was a 12 rounder. So Terence really, really showed some serious fucking levels to boxing. In terms of boxing IQ and southpaw boxing and making things tricky, Terence looked fucking like on. He looked spectacular in there. So what's next for Terence? Terence is actually older than Canelo. So what's next for both of them? I think Terence will... I really like Terence combination punching from southpaw, and really impressive punching for punching an orthodox fighter that's known for his body shots and his setups and his power, staying away from the power of the whole match, and also managing to outbox him the entirety of the match itself. Terence really showed that his small resume compared to Canelo's really big, dense resume was sufficient to beat him, as well as the fact that the guys that he was going up against, who some people, even me, said weren't as good as Canelo's opponents, he showed that they were, in fact, on that level, and that Terence was even better than Canelo whilst being a division lower and also older, which is a wild thought to have. I wouldn't mind seeing Terence stay at that division, if not go up maybe one more and try that out. He even stated that he didn't want to go up in weight to fight in like Bivol's division, just how Canelo did. He said he didn't want to do that. He said he just kind of wanted to stay. People were saying, you know, like Terence is 42-0 now. Floyd was 50-0. I personally think Floyd's still better than Terence. People are making the argument that Terence is better. I think people need to stop with the recency bias. I think Floyd is still a better boxer than Terence. I personally was really surprised that Canelo lost that match. I thought Canelo was going to win. Terence is looking good. I want to see what happens with Terence next. He's getting up there in age, so I don't see Terence staying around for too long. Comment below and also send me a message who you think Terence should fight next. I'm electrolyting up right now. Need to get the fucking energy in, bro.
Modern Warfare 3.
Let's do this. The final topic that I want to go over today as we wrap up the show is Jiří Procházka. So all the casuals saying to me, Khalil Roundtree Jr. versus Jiří Procházka, are two warriors, two absolute like animals. Yeah, I don't think so. Khalil Roundtree had a good match up against Alex Pereira, wherein he won the first two rounds, and Alex Pereira had like some sort of broken fucking foot, stomach bug, some bullshit going into that fight, right? Not to mention, Dustin Jacoby got robbed up against Khalil Roundtree, and now Khalil's gone on to beat Jamal Hill. Okay, yeah, all right. Good wins, but not the level that Jiří Procházka is operating on. We're talking about a guy that had at one point like a 91% finish rate with over 30 wins. Like, are you fucking normal? Are you normal? The only losses that Jiří has is Alex Pereira in his prime, when Alex was on a fucking tear. And both of those fights, the first one was close, the second one not so much, but leg kicks were an issue. Leg kicks were seriously an issue. I'm going to put it out here. Jiří Procházka is the only fighter that's able to beat Magomed and Kalayev during this title reign right now, because Jiří is the most unorthodox fighter that Magomed could fight. If you rewatch that Glover Teixeira fight, where he's doing well in the grappling exchanges, I think Magomed and Glover's grappling in terms of their primes, I don't know, man, their equivalent, I would even maybe say that Glover's jiu-jitsu is a little bit better. You know, Magomed's become more of a boxer, more of a KO threat, more of a kickboxer. So, Jiří versus Khalil Roundtree. I don't reckon this is a hard match for Jiří. Now, he needs to watch out for Khalil's low kicks. I think Yuri's got better cardio. I think he's more ferocious. I think he comes forward more. I think he's going to be able to take Khalil's shots. I don't think Khalil's going to be able to take Yuri's shot, though. Yuri is a finisher. If you are to describe a fighter as a finisher, Yuri displays, elucidates every single characteristic of a finisher. He has a sub threat when he's already damaged them with the strikes. He can KO you with anything. Elbows, punches, kicks, knees. He's just fucking vicious. He's violent. He can go the full 25 minutes and he's not worried to mix the martial arts game. His methodology that he spoke about getting the finish in the most efficient way possible and hunting the finish quickly, I think is one of the most effectual fight styles that anyone could possibly have. Get the finish as fast as possible. And if they stay there, damage them so they can't continue. That's like, it's so simplistic. It's fucking perfect. Khalil, I don't believe his Muay Thai and his low kicks are going to be enough to keep Yuri away from him. Yuri's going to sprint forward. If Khalil cannot get away from the pressure, similar to, you know, even Johnny Walker putting Khalil out when he marched him down. And also we saw with Alex stalking him down and patiently chipping away at him until putting him out. I think Yuri takes out Khalil pretty handedly. I'm going to say second or third round, Yuri will finish Khalil. I'm going to say knockout. That fight, I think that Yuri Prohaska has the highest chance of beating Magomed Ankalaev out of anyone in the division because he can mix the game up against Magomed, but he doesn't mix it up conventionally. Oh, let's wrestle now. Oh, let's do jits. Let's box. Let's kickbox. Yuri doesn't strike like everybody else. He's very unorthodox in his striking. His grappling is very scramble-based and really scenario-driven. And also, he favors that no-gi jiu-jitsu. I don't even know if he does, like, conventional wrestling. I think it's more the fact that he just keeps on marching them down and takes the fight as it goes with his grappling, inserting his grappling in those transition periods. Magomed, if he's going to try and conventionally fight Yuri like he would conventionally fight Alex Pereira, that's a really bad decision to make. Because Yuri will punch over his punches. He will try and hit him with flying knees. He will try and go as unorthodox as possible. I think an unorthodox fighter is a serious threat to Magomed Ankalaev. You know, not everybody is unbeatable, right? Every fighter can be beat. But I think we haven't seen somebody with the style to be able to beat Magomed because he's so conventionally good. I think Yuri Prohaska is that guy. How I see it going down is I see Magomed trying to get his boxing game going, trying to punch with him, also trying those low kicks. I think that if he shoots on Yuri, Yuri will utilize his game in his grappling, just like he did against Glover to keep in the fight and to stay in there. I think Yuri's a little bit more durable than Magomed, and I think that Yuri will land a punch over the top during an exchange and really hurt Magomed and also maybe finish him on the ground or keep it standing and drop him again. So I think out of everybody in the division, I think that the Joker card is Yuri. I think that Alex Pereira is just a bad matchup for Yuri, and that's why he couldn't beat him. And I think it's a paper, scissors, rock. I think Magomed's probably going to beat Alex. Alex's probably going to beat Yuri. Yuri's probably going to beat Magomed. If that happens, that'll be such a meme, but I'm of the belief that Yuri poses a threat. Now, I want to, since Yuri loses to people, he comes back and he looks fucking tremendous. You know what I mean? He lost to Alex Pereira, comes back, fights Rakic, and just like decimates Rakic. Like he loses the first round, comes back, decimates him. He loses to Alex Pereira again because of the styles. And then he comes back, puts Jamal out cold. I think he's going to put out Khalil out cold. I think out of everybody, Yuri's a very underrated fighter. And I think that, you know, at the time, Alex Pereira will leave the division. I think Yuri will, you know, Yuri will stay in the division. He's already had the belt. He can get it again. I think who he gets it against is Magomed. I think now's the time for Yuri to level up. Let's see how he deals with Khalil. Because Jamal, in my opinion, I don't reckon he's that good. I don't reckon he's that good. So we'll have to see how Yuri deals with Khalil. But even if he has a close match with Khalil, which I think is unlikely, him going up against Magomed the same way he fought Glover back in the day, with a little bit better takedown defense and a little bit. Keeping that same style of striking with that unorthodox head movement where Magomed can't find him, I think will pose a different type of threat, something he's not used to. And because of that, I think he can steal that fight off him and reclaim the championship, that light heavyweight. Anything Combat Podcast, Johnny K, Become a Combatant.
Become a Combatant.